Is it just me, or has it been like, you know, a year since I've been here? Hasn't quite been that long. It just feels that way to me. I want to thank all of you who are praying for Susan and I. We had a wonderful time on our 30th anniversary cruise. And I want you to know I was biblical on my cruise. I buffeted my body as often as possible and enjoyed it. I want to thank all of the staff, Kevin and Daniel and Lee, for taking so well the responsibilities for the 2 weeks I was out. I did not get a chance to hear about, where's Kevin? Your mom and dad, everything go well on Wednesday night? It was good. I'm glad all of you were here. I know you were here to hear our Southern Baptist missionaries. So we continue to pray for and give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. As you can tell by our lights, we're over $18,000. We're almost to our church goal of $22,000. So you keep praying and keep asking the Lord to bless our folks so they can be a blessing to others. You have your Bible this morning. You'll want to turn to Acts chapter 2. Those of you who are Bible scholars know that Acts chapter 2 is that famous passage where the Holy Spirit descends upon the church. And then after he descends, Peter begins to preach. And the Holy Spirit does the second work of grace that he did that day in convicting people of their sin. And the church was born that day. Now, I want you to see how diverse the church was in the very beginning. Look at verse 5. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" Apparently, Galileans had some kind of accent that everyone knew in that day. And as they were speaking, they said, "These guys are Galileans. We can hear it in their voice. But how is it that we hear each in our own language in the place or in the there which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes." Both Jews and, in case y'all are wondering, that means Gentiles, proselytes. Jews and Gentiles were there, and Cretans and Arabs. "And we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Now, just so you know, if you ever ask that question in the presence of a preacher, you're going to get a sermon. Okay? So Peter, hearing what they were saying, preaches exactly what this means. And notice in verse 37, it says, now, when they heard this, when they heard the message of what it meant that they were hearing, they were cut to their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Father God, thank you for your word. Now, Father, as we share from it, pray that you will take it and use it to edify us and prepare us for the Lord's table. In Jesus' name, amen. I come to this text because this is where the church was born. And you see the incredible diversity of the early church. There were far more cultural differences existing in the early church than exist in the church in U.S. America. For even if you come from another culture into U.S. America, the American culture is so unique is that it very quickly absorbs other cultures. So even though you may have another language, you think like an American. You have ideas that are uniquely American. But in that day, it was not the case. In that day, people held on much closer to their ethnic identities than they did to any concept of belonging to a Roman Empire. And the early church was comprised of all of these different people. And they only had one thing in common. And you find it in verse 38. They all repented and became followers of Jesus Christ. And the early church then began to struggle. Not in a bad way, but in a good way. To try to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What it means to truly have come to faith in Him and how we obey His commands, not just as individuals, but as a church. And so, you know, early on, the church had a problem. And that is, do you have to become a Jew before you become a Christian? Now, there were those Judaizers who said, absolutely. That Christianity is nothing more than another sect of Judaism, and you first have to keep the laws of Moses and be circumcised like a child of Abraham before you can become a Christian. And well, you know the Apostle Paul and the other New Testament writers addressing that issue and the fallacy of it, that what made one a Christian had nothing to do with one's cultural heritage, but had everything to do with this, this Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Messiah, the anointed one, who came and gave his life a ransom for sinners, who paid sin's debt. In our nation, we have this as an ideal. On our currency, we often have the phrase e pluribus unum. Out of the multitudes, or out of the many, come one. But in the early church, that was more than just an ideal. It was an absolute. Out of all of this various background, there is only one thing that makes one a child of God. And that one thing is that you have come to the place where what the Lord Jesus Christ did on Calvary paid for your sin, and you have given Him total control of your life and absolute allegiance to that life here on earth. And if you have that as your background, then it matters not whether you're Jewish or Gentile, Phrygian or Pamphylian, Roman or Cretan. You may come to the table as a Christ follower and glorify Him as you do so. Out of all of those many backgrounds, Jesus made one body, one church, one people. And He commanded that one church, that one people, to observe, to remember what made them one. And that is His death, burial, and resurrection. His payment for their sins brought them to the Father. And it's important that this first Sunday of the new year, that we who gather at First Baptist Church, no matter what our backgrounds may be, no whether we be male or female, whether we be a Michigan fan or an Ohio State fan, whatever our backgrounds may be, we are one in Christ. The essential unity that we hold to is not a unity of culture. It's not a unity of language. It is a unity of theology, a unity in the faith. And I call you brother and I call you sister, no matter what your background is, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ. And it is the one thing. As long as the church holds Him in central place, as long as the church lifts him up, then all of our differences can be put in their proper perspective. But when the church minimizes Jesus, it will maximize its differences. And that is what happened in the early church until they settled the issue of who can have or who is a Christian and who can come to the table. And they did so. And from the 10th chapter of Acts and forward, you don't see this issue anymore. And so this morning as we come to the table, I'm going to say to you the same thing that the apostles would have said. Who is worthy to come to the table this morning? Those who have repented of their sins, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ, and those who have given him the absolute right to rule and reign in their lives, that he is their Lord and they are his followers. Nothing more is required, but nothing less is acceptable either. To come to the table as one who has not accepted Jesus for who he is and what he has done, and to participate in the elements of the grape, of the vine and the bread, is, as the Apostle Paul says, is to tell a lie about the very nature of God and the purpose of redemption. That the nature of God is that he accepts us on our terms, and that is not true. And that the nature of redemption is that you must earn God's favor and you can make yourself right with God, both of which would nullify the very thing that Jesus did on Calvary. So it's not an age issue. It's not how young you are or how old you are. It's a faith issue. Have you come to that place where Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection in history, and the atoning work that he did, has it become your faith, your belief? Do you believe, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe and confess that his death and resurrection is the only way to be right with God? If you've done so, this morning we celebrate with you as brothers and sisters. If you have not done so, I'm going to say to you, as I say every time we come to the table, do not partake of the elements. For the Bible says, if you do so, you drink judgment unto yourself. And God, the Bible says, takes a very dim view of those who would do that. So this morning, as we celebrate the table, we want to come and remember. Remember what he did for us. And remember what he has made us. He has made us his body. And out of the many, he has made one church, his church, the church of the redeemed, bought by the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray together as we come to the table. Father and God, in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus, we exalt the plan and purpose of God this morning. For we exalt your grace when we acknowledge that you must do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You must make us right with you. For in order for you to be both just and the justifier, you must call for sin's punishment and you must provide the sacrifice. And in your Son, you have done both. The Apostle Paul, reflecting on that, understood when he wrote, according to your Holy Spirit, there is only one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus. We praise you for his mediating work as he hung between heaven and earth, as though belonging to neither, but bringing both together in himself. Father, we pray this morning as we partake of the supper that we will do so in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus. That we will do so in faith as those who walk with him as his children. and that you would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For though we walk by faith, we stumble and we are frail and falter. And we, like Martin Luther said, are at best saved sinners. Sinners, to be sure, by nature, but saved by the grace of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so help us to remember all that He has done for us and continues to do for us as we exalt the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in His table. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people say, amen. As our deacons come this morning. I'm going to pray first and just let you distribute it. Father and God, in the blessed name of Jesus, we come before you and we lift up this service of the table. Now, by your grace and for your glory, Father, would you do what only you can do? That you would take these simple elements and remind us of the spiritual truth that is behind them. That in his own body, nailed to a cross, shedding his blood, he paid for our sin and he purchased our redemption. Father, in Jesus' name, may we glorify you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. While they're reading, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Father, we thank you for the bread of life, which came down from heaven, that manna which shall forever satisfy our spiritual needs. May as we partake of this bread, we be reminded of him. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he gave it to each of them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of a new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Father, we thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Your word teaches us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so the Lord Jesus taught us that his blood is that which remits sin. It pays for sin's penalty. And so we come to the table thanking you for what was done and thanking you for what is yet to be. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until he comes, Maranatha. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. When the Holy Spirit came and the church was birthed, a message was preached, a message of redemption. How what was happening was the fulfillment of everything that had been taught and promised and prophesied concerning redemption in the Old Testament. And that the Lord's table itself is a reminder of God's deliverance, or its cultural background is the Passover feast, in which the people of Israel were told to remember God's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. And so we are reminded at the Lord's table of our deliverance from the bondage of sin. And we are called to remember this as those who are spiritual inheritors of its truth. And so it is literally a preaching in symbol of the gospel. For the gospel is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so every time the gospel is proclaimed, we give an invitation to receive the person who is the gospel. This morning, as we've celebrated the table, if you've never trusted the Lord as Master, as Savior, then we invite you this morning during this hymn of invitation to come and let us share with you how you can know for certain that you are God's child and that your sins have been paid for and that you may have eternal life. Maybe you're looking for a church home. The other thing this we talked about this morning is how all of us are different, but what makes us one is what Jesus has done for us. There are no lone rangers in Christianity. I don't know where that got started. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. God never called anyone to live the Christian life by themselves. He called us to be part of his body. And so if you're looking for a church home, come be a part of this body and be a part of its witness in the community that God has placed it in. Maybe you just want someone to pray with you this morning. If you do, the altar is open. You'll never be alone when you get there. The Holy Spirit will be there, and someone will pray with you. As we stand around the room, Heavenly Father, this is your invitation. Thank you for the privilege of giving it. In Jesus' name, as we sing.